And good morning, KRFY listeners. This is Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and this is Julie Calamine, your Tuesday morning show host. Sometimes, because sometimes it's also Phil Huff, who is not joining us today. We miss him, though. We'll see him in a week or two. Well, we've got a great interview this morning, which I'm going to tell you about after I talk about the weather. So I imagine folks have noticed that our sunny fall has ended and our rainy pre-winter has begun. But I'll just give you the details for the week. Boy, it is rainy, rainy, rainy. So we're looking at a week of rain with maybe one day of mostly cloudy. And that would be looking like it's going to be Wednesday night and a little bit into Thursday. So clearing and cloudy Wednesday, but mostly rainy, highs in the highs in the 40s, middle 40s, lows in the low 30s. So that is our sort of rainy fall into winter forecast. And if you were driving around town or if you've been out yet this morning and you looked up over Schweitzer, you may have noticed there's clouds, but there's also sort of a smoky situation happening. And our guest, Dave, who I'm about to introduce, noticed it too. And it looks like a combo of smoke and clouds. What do you think, Dave?
A good combination of that. I wonder what it is, though. Yeah. I think the fires are still going near Bonner's Ferry, so it might be a mix of that and just a good old Mother Nature.
Yeah, it seems like it, but it's a dark and sort of sinister-looking cloud up over the mountain. I hope it's not a new Hobbit movie or something starting.
I won't go to sinister, but it's unique, Julie.
Yeah, it
unique.
Looks a little different. Well, without further ado, I'd like to introduce what's going to be a great talk this morning. You may recognize his voice because this man is all over town. This morning, I am joined by Dave Keyes, and Dave is a few things, but he's the past Rotary president. He's the current assistant district president, governor of Rotary, and he's about to become something even bigger, aren't you, Dave?
I am. You miss one meeting, Julie, and you never know what'll happen.
But so true.
In 3 years, I'll be the district governor for District 5080, which is everywhere from Banff, Canada, down to Walla Walla, down to Tri-Cities, down to Lewiston. So there's about 55 clubs in our district.
Wow, that's a big job, and you've got 3 years to prepare for it.
It takes all of that, I've heard. We had a former district governor from here, and that was Jerry Anderson, and she did that about 4 or 5 years ago. And I actually got to help her with her year, and that was fun. So I maybe kind of got my taste going for trying to help out more people with Rotary.
Oh, great. Well, Dave, let's back up and learn. For listeners who haven't seen you around town and don't already know you, tell us a little bit about you, how you came to be in Sandpoint, and what you were doing before you became a Rotary person and Northwest Auto Body person.
Well, let's go way back. How's that?
I like it.
I was lucky enough to be born in Scotland, Edinburgh, Scotland. My dad was in the Air Force listening to Russian radio broadcasts, so that was pretty cool. And we lived there until I was 5 years old. Mom and dad divorced, and mom moved to a little town of Forsyth, Montana, population of about 2,000 people or so. I graduated from high school there. I was a student body president, did all sorts of fun stuff. It was a small school. We had 45 kids in my class.
Oh, boy.
And I always tell my kids, I graduated the top 45 of my class, kids, so aim high.
Very funny.
So I attended the University of Montana after that and majored in journalism and political science, dabbled in a few business classes, did a few other things, too, active in student government, athletics, all sorts of stuff, school paper, and politics a little bit as well back then. I got a job right out of school. It was one of those game of life moments. It was either follow a corporate thing to IBM down in San Diego or pursue small town journalism. And I thought, oh, I want to try small town journalism. So I moved to Bonner's Ferry and I became a reporter at the Bonner's Ferry Herald. That was back in 87. Worked with a guy named Chris Bessler back then too. He's much older than I am, but he was instrumental in my starting of my career.
I don't think anybody's heard of that guy around here.
Yeah, he talks to himself around town, too, so you hear his voice as well. So we both talk to ourselves. So
that's great. So you got to work with Chris.
I did, yeah. And Chris was the editor of the Daily Bee back in the day, and I was, of course, in the smaller paper. Worked my way through the Hagedorn Corporation, many different newspapers in North Idaho. Met the love of my life, Marlisa, at the Bonner's Ferry Herald. We've been married for 31 wonderful years. Two grown kids, and I have my first granddaughter, was delivered about 6 months ago now.
So, way to go.
That's
congratulations.
Pretty cool.
That's neat. And now you're retired, right? At least from one job.
Well, yeah, I've definitely followed a career of consulting and writing. I still do a lot of that. But yeah, I repotted myself. I call it repotting myself. And I came back to Sandpoint, worked with Chris a little bit too at Kyoki. I was the CEO of that company. And also then I decided to move on to, again, another opportunity. And that was Northwest Auto Body. Of all things, I've never done, don't have me ever fix your car, by the way. But I understand how the operations work and I do all that other kind of stuff. But
and full disclosure, folks, I have experienced Dave's work at Northwest Auto Body because I was one of the many unfortunate people who I would say hit a deer, but this deer hit me. Mm-hmm. And I was able to use the company. You guys did a good job.
Why, thank you. Thanks.
Yes. So that puts you in a position that you maybe have a little more time, as in time for Rotary.
It's different because I get to open the door and unlock the door at the end of the day, and there's nothing else really following me home as it used to in my other careers. So, yeah, so that does open up sometimes. But I'm also very lucky to have two just great people I'm working with, Corey and Eric Donenfeld. And we talked when they hired me. I said, well, I've got other interests too. And they said, okay, we know you do. And that's why we're hiring you, because you know everybody in town. But also, yes, make sure you give yourself time to do what you need to do. And that's where the Rotary presidency came in. I could not have done that on my own, really.
So well, it sounds like that's working out pretty well then.
Yeah.
And you work for a couple of nice guys.
Yeah, really lucky.
Good for you. Well, all right, let's move on to our main topic of the day, and that is Rotary. And I have a question that I've been thinking about as I drove in, looking at those dark clouds, and wondering, why is Rotary called Rotary?
Doesn't make sense to you, does it?
Not yet.
I could tell. You've got that quizzical look on your face, too. Rotary is called Rotary because in 1905, there were four business people in Chicago who wanted to meet and make a difference in the world. And so are you ready, Julie? They rotated the meetings between the four different offices of these professionals. Rotary.
Is that really it?
It's it. That's all. I'm sorry. It's nothing more colorful than that. But
I have to say, I did expect it to be a little more,
more deep.
In depth
well,
than
you
that.
Know.
Yes. But that's good. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
and easy to remember. Yes. All right. Well,
It started then and with four members. And as of this year, are you ready? 1.4 million members around the world.
Almost from 4 to 1.4 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Last year. Isn't that cool? Almost every country. Again, every club does a different thing. You know, you can imagine, even our little clubs here, and we're small compared to some areas, Bonner's Ferry, Priest River, Newport, Sandpoint, each club has its own DNA. It has its own vision of how they want to reflect their community. And so that's pretty cool because they're all do fun, different fundraisers to help other, you know, scholarships. They do all sorts of different things the club is determined to do.
Yeah. So its mission, tell me, it's to help, but is there a stated mission?
There is. In fact, we're guided by what's called the four-way test. And we repeat this at our club meetings, and almost all of them do, and it goes something like this. Of the things we think, say, or do, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? Think about that. So can you imagine if every politician would say, I swear on the four-way test that it'll be the truth, it'll be fair to all concerned, wouldn't that separate a whole bunch of stuff that's going on?
It would sure be different.
Right.
It would be a different world, I think.
So I put my own little fingerprint on our club when I was president last year, and we added a fifth plank to it. And so in unison, after we go through the four-way test on our big board, we throw in, and will it be fun? With a big round of, yay, you betcha, let's go, let's make it fun. And that was my goal, and that's always been my goal with Rotary and other things I do too, is try to instill fun with it, because we're all volunteers. Every Rotarian is a volunteer. There's not a paid Rotarian around. So you better have fun.
I could not agree more. It's a volunteer position here at KRFY, and I volunteer elsewhere. And if it stops being fun, it's pretty hard to volunteer.
It is. In fact, one of the questions when I interviewed for the district governorship was, how do you motivate a raft of volunteers versus people who are paid to do their jobs? And again, that's where the fun part has to come in. And also a sense of purpose. You know, are we making a difference? Is my time well spent here? And I think by the time we talk, you know, for this 40 minutes or so, Julie, I think you'll find that Rotary does make a difference, not only here in Sandpoint, not only in our district, not only in our states and provinces around here, but around the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was not involved, but aware of what was happening in Rotary before I moved to Sandpoint in my town, and they did a lot of good, and I've seen it here too.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the priorities and some of the projects that Rotary is working on.
Yeah, locally first, I guess. If you look around, you'll see a Rotary project almost in every block in Sandpoint. Everything from the Farman Park band shells to the downtown bathrooms to the bathrooms at Farman Stidwell, to the boardwalk situation down by the water, to the benches, to the entry to the Ponderay Bay Trail, up at Pine Street Woods. We've got a Rotarian Trail, which we did as a club. So there's a lot of physical reminders of what we've done here. But I really think that the real mark of a club has been what isn't really measured in monuments. It's in the scholarships or in the exchange student programs that we've done. I think those are really our legacy. Those are the ones that make the difference. And every year, well, this past year, we gave out $15,000, well, actually $20,000 in scholarships through the club. And then two really highly motivated Rotarians said, you know what, there's a golf tournament that might need a little love. We want to take that over, but we want to have that money go to career technical education scholarships, something we offered in our club but didn't really focus on. And so it wasn't really pushed by the school district because people hear what they want to hear. Well, you want to go to a four-year school, apply for the scholarship. You want to go to a two-year school, talk to the Sandpoint Rotary. But so the CTE people kind of got lost in the mix there. So two great members, Angela and Tim, said, well, we'll take over this tournament, which was kind of languishing and almost went away, if we can give 100% to this. And that tournament would make usually $10,000. If not a bad effort, good day of golf and kind of fun. Anyway, this year they netted more than $60,000.
Oh, my word.
So it was the power of people saying, we want to make a difference. We want to own this thing and really substantially improve the lives of people. So now the big challenge for them is, how do you make sure that money goes to a good cause and spread it out? And they're in the middle of that. How about that for a good, fun thing to do?
That's a fabulous example. And that'll be a lot of scholarships.
It will. It will. Yeah. And they're talking with the school district. They're talking with different organizations to make sure that money is spent wisely. And I think they're gearing up to do it again next year. And I expect it to be bigger and better because this was on the fly. This was, we want to rescue this tournament, but we want to do this. And they really rolled into it in about 3 months. They made that happen.
That really checks all the boxes for Rotary, especially the one, is it fun?
Yeah, and it turned out to be fun. We had a lot of fun out there that night.
I bet.
And we also honored Dan Hall, a former member who had passed away this past year. And then we had another member pass away, Royal Shields. And that was a horrible thing. He passed away during our chafe ride. He was volunteering to pick up signs, had a heart attack. But here's how Rotary works. His wife, Jana, who's just a doll, and she would always be with him in our events, he had a ring, a Rotary ring. And so she asked us to have an auction for it and give all the money to the book trust here in our community.
Wow.
And so we did, and we raised money, and all is well. And so his memory helped even kids today with everything that's going on that way. And Jana's just a great person, involved the club still. Just, it was really a touching moment. Brought the club together, but also reminded us that we are bigger than our individuals. And it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a great story. Yeah. I was working on the chafe that day at one of the hydration stations, and it was pretty shocking, sad event. What a great way to honor his memory. That's great.
Yeah. We also did the same thing with Dan Hall at the golf tournament. There was a memorial there, and there was money raised there and through his memorial to help the Ponderay Bay Trail through Rotary. So we've made a connection with those folks now, and we do volunteer cleanup work out there. And we really see a partnership forming with the Ponderay Bay Trail folks, too. So it's all about those connections, Julie.
That's right. Well, are there more projects you'd like to share, or shall I move on to some next topic?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about the Pine Street Woods one. We've been active out there for a few years. We raised a whole bunch of money at one of our dinners and some things. What we're doing now, the next level, is there will be an entrance to the Pine Street Woods.
Yeah, it could use one.
It's not really determined yet with the sledding hill coming on board and other things. They haven't really decided exactly where they want it. But in the meantime, we worked with Colin Biggs. We worked with a great log guy. We've worked on design. So we have this welcoming kiosk ready to be built when we get the green light. And we have to raise a few more dollars, too. I think we're $30,000 into it, so we've got money ready to roll. But we need to raise a little bit more, which we always do. And what we'll do is we'll have that entrance. It'll have maps. It'll have all the good stuff. And we're going to have two things there that will be cool. We're going to have a time capsule that we're going to invite students to have their views of what's this place going to be like 100 years from now, and also talking about what they see right now in the environment and the world. And then we're going to have that. But then we're going to also have a peace pole up there, too.
So, wow.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of cool. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right, listeners, for those of you just joining the conversation, this is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Julie Calamine, and I'm one of your morning show hosts. And this morning, I'm joined by Dave Keyes, and he's the Rotary's past president. He's their current assistant district governor and future governor.
Heartbeat away or
That's
so.
That's right. Funny. Well, Dave, let's talk about other Rotaries everywhere. Are these sure. generally the type of projects that they're doing around the country and the world?
Yeah, it resembles a few things for sure. When people think about Rotary, they talk about really polio eradication. And that's one of our bigger 10,000 foot things. And Rotary's given $1 billion to help fight polio. And Sandpoint Club has been really good. That was when I was president, I made it one of our priorities to raise more money. I kept selling the idea that wouldn't you like to be on the winning team when we eradicate polio? So here's how you sign up. And Rotary has an avenue where you can give money monthly or whatever way you want to do that. That's the Polio Plus Fund.
That's big.
So we keep that in the forefront. In fact, now that you mention it, this Friday, we have a happy hour social at 113 Main Street from 5 to 6 for Pints for Polio Plus. And we'll have glasses there that have the cool little logo on them. And we'll have some cool little pins that say "End Polio." We'll have all sorts of fun stuff. And if you're thinking about Rotary, especially after this great conversation with Julie today, maybe stop by and say hi to some Rotarians and maybe learn more about what we do.
Yeah, and maybe how to become a Rotarian.
That's right, and how to drink a beer with a Rotarian. That's really a test.
Well, I will say this is a town that will drink beer in support of organizations,
right,
so hopefully
right.
it'll go over well.
Right. The public is definitely welcome. We look forward to seeing you. And Julie, come on by. I'll buy you a drink.
I'm putting it on my schedule.
All right.
Maybe I'll buy you one, Dave.
Now we're talking.
There we go. Well, all right. I'm hearing about how you're raising money, but tell us more about how Rotary raises money for projects.
Sure. A couple of different ways. We have many events throughout the year. We raise money through our membership, too. And we have about 104 members in our Sandpoint Rotary Club. There's another club here, too, the Pondere Club. And it's a new one. It's called Pondere Centennial because it was formed during the centennial year of Rotary. And they have about 20 members now, and they do really, really good stuff. So it's fun to watch the difference between the clubs because I work with both clubs. And then you throw in a Bonner's Ferry, and they have like 40, some people. And Newport Priest River has about 8. So each of them raise funds in different ways. The Pondere Club, probably for a club its size especially, but also just being a club, probably raises the most per capita than any club I've ever seen. And they just do some great stuff with scholarships and different things, too. So every club's creative. We try to find different ways to raise money. We used to do a gala, and that was a murder mystery one year where we killed off Dennis Pence. And so people bought tickets to see that. I don't, but it was a dinner theater and it raised a lot of money. And we shared the money with food for our children. What we do is we find ourselves partnering a lot with different organizations in town. And what that means is then our reach is really doubled. You know, we're helping Rotary continue to do the good things, but also food for our children. And we have a long list of different, the museum, we've helped there, we've helped at the Music Conservatory, just different things in town where people come to us. We don't know anything going on. And they say, hey, how about that? And we usually find out, again, we have all these circles of influence with these members. There's a spouse involved. There's somebody else involved. So we know more about it. Then we bring them on board. Tell us about your program and boom, we'll fund it. And we'll give you the man hours too. One cool one that doesn't raise money is the Firewood Rescue Program. I think you've probably talked about that on this show.
We have. Yeah. What a great program.
And near and dear to our heart, too.
Yeah, describe it.
Former President Mel Dick, one of our just great members, really took it to heart. And that was years ago now. And so we make a point every year to work with Firewood Rescue to make a difference in people's lives. The most heartwarming story was one where there was a veteran who was injured, Vietnam era. And he was living in a trailer out in the middle of nowhere. His roof was collapsing. His porch was destroyed. And he was, again, handicapped. wood heat was his only source of heat. As we came up to his house that day, you could see the gaps between the porch and the trailer house. You just knew he was not taking care of what he needed to take care of or couldn't take care of. Anyway, so story goes that knocked on the door. He came to the door and said, "We're with Firewood Rescue Rotary. You need some wood, don't you?" He goes, "Oh, I don't need wood," you know, that whole thing, kind of puffing up, being real proud about it. But so we talked and kept talking, and then kept talking. And so he kind of turned around and started crying and said, "Yes, of course I need wood." And it was winter.
I'm going to start crying.
And that's a story that Paul Creams tells. And he's the firewood rescue guy. And again, anytime we can help them out, we cut wood, we stack wood, we store wood for them. Again, a partnership. We take no credit for their success. We just are a part of a bigger picture that is firewood rescue.
Yeah, that's a great program. It's great that that can happen out here. Yeah. I love that one. What a great story.
And a good need, too. There's definitely a need for it. And we're seeing it starting to pop up again right now as we're getting back into winter.
I couldn't agree more. That's a good one. Dave, tell us more about who is the person that joins Rotary. Who's in the? What kinds of people join Rotary? Are they just business people? Tell us about them.
I'll tell you about two of our more recent ones. We've had a pretty good run of membership because people are looking to connect. I truly believe that people want to volunteer. They just don't know how to help. And so what Rotary does, it's kind of a on-ramp into being able to help in our community and our world. So we've had our youngest, newest member was 25 years old. And he's from a prominent family here in town, along with Pine Street Woods. He's all about being active. And he's a kid I used to coach in soccer way back when, too. Just a great young man. He did our mini RILA program. He did our Interact program at the high school. He did all sorts of cool things. So great to have him on board, our newest, youngest member. About the same time, we had our oldest, newest members join. And it was a couple. And they're 86 and 85 years old. And they're just the most lovely couple. And they're great Rotarians. They've been on board now for about 4 or 5 months, I think, now. And they said to me when they were going through the process, "We're not going to do a whole lot of lifting, can't volunteer a lot, but we'll write a lot of checks and help out." So they lied to us because they do write a lot of checks, but they help a ton. They are down at the Chafe almost all day. They're just goers. It's just fun to see these folks. And so that's the breadth of that. So we see people moving here who perhaps want to get involved, they're retired or whatever else. They say, "Hey, I want to do that." We see younger business people saying, I want to connect. And so we help that because, again, you're having a lunch meeting with 70 people who are pretty involved with the community at different levels. The studies show that people tell you they want to join Rotary to make those connections. But what happens is that's not why they stay. They stay because of the camaraderie, the friendship, the making a difference, you know, getting out there and helping Firewood Rescue, helping a senior, hosting an exchange student, just the cool stuff that all Rotarians can do. All of a sudden, that's why they stick.
Yeah, that kind of satisfaction and feeling appreciated really will hold folks together.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So it isn't, you know, I was under the impression that it was mainly business people, and maybe it is, but it isn't only business people.
Well, we've got to think generational, right? And part of what my goal as I move up into leadership is, you know, where will we be 10 years from now? And it won't be, well, I mean, I'll be around, but there's older members here who won't be. Who's replacing the couple ones who passed away this past year? Who's taking those seats? Who's making the difference there? And it's got to be younger folks. And so we're really active in the high school. We've got Interact programs at high school and charter high school, Forest Bird School. Those are coming out of COVID, so they're a challenge right now. We're getting that moving. In 2 weekends, we have what's called Mini RILA, and that's a Rotary Youth Leadership Awards. And we have, I think, 20 high school kids will spending a weekend out at Western Pleasure Guest Ranch with leaders, learning about leadership skills, life skills, and it's going to be cool. I think we've done that for 5 years. Debbie Ford has led the charge on that, and it's just a tremendous success. The district kicks in funds for it as well. We just see that as just another outreach, another way to maybe reach kids who might be at risk a little bit, some of them. But we're focusing on getting them together, building those interpersonal skills and a little self-confidence and a little bit of appreciation, all that good stuff that will help them.
Right. I love that because I was not really introduced to volunteering as a young person or nonprofit sort of work, anything like that. And I have to think we're in that program, you're growing your future volunteers.
We really are. Yeah. And also, we invite our families to be part of the things we do. we did a couple of years ago now, a playground at Kootenai Elementary. And the coolest part about that was all of a sudden we had people who were kids. They brought their kids along to the playground part of it. And they were like Eric Donenfeld and his two sons were real little at that point. And they're playing around while dad is leading Rotarians and building this playground. And so what kind of example is that for those kids to see dad giving back or mom giving back? We had Tyler Wagner, another great member who helped lead a charge to clean up the Pondre Bay Trail a couple weekends ago. And guess what? It wasn't him. It was his wife and those kids. And that's got to sink in, Julie. I just think that leading by example.
Yeah, it's a great example when families work together. And it's more fun a lot of times, too. Right. Everybody's out there.
So the thread, though, is people want to help. They want to do things. They just don't know how to plug in sometimes. And so I think that's where I see Rotary, especially in our community. We, again, have those people who are moving here and saying, well, I know about Rotary because I see the signs everywhere in town. What is it? How do I belong? We have one great story. He's our membership chairman who was just walking past the meeting place at Tango and got sucked in there and nobody sponsored him. And now he's one of our leaders in our club. And it's one of the best stories he tells when we do the pre-induction, when we invite people to become members. We do a pre-induction and Bob will tell that story about, I didn't know what I was getting myself to. And now he's one of our top leaders.
He just wandered into what looked like a fun lunch.
Are fun lunch. I don't know if you've ever been to one. You're invited.
I have.
And there's a buzz there that you can't replicate. People seeing their friends, people knowing that they're about to learn something new with a great speaker, always having a great meal for one thing. And I'd invite your listeners, if they want to come sometime, be my guest, Wednesdays at noon at Tango. It's a greatest lunch, greatest company, and I guarantee you'll learn something every time. And who knows, you might be our next great Rotarian.
That's right. It's a very energetic lunch meeting. Yeah. It's really good. And I think there's always a speaker, isn't there?
There is, and that's part of the draw. When I used to run the Daily Bee, I would get my best news tips at those meetings because all of a sudden you'd have the sheriff talking about X or the county commissioner talking about Y. Or, you know, we've had everything from the climatologist, we've had a hydrologist, we've had other club people from different clubs come in with their expertise and talk to us about what they do really well. And especially with Zoom, when we were on Zoom for a while, and we still do a hybrid meeting, so if people aren't feeling well, they can do it online, which is great. We had guest speakers from all around the world because guess what? You didn't cost anything to fly them to Sandpoint, Idaho. And so we had them there. And we went entirely to Zoom for a while. That was before my presidency. And I felt so sorry. Ken Wood was our president then. I joke about it. He only really had two real meetings this whole year, but he had more than that. But he managed to keep the club together in Zoom world, which is hard to do. I mean, you know, you've been on a few of those calls.
Oh, who knows better? We did our morning shows via Zoom for that period.
So did you?
It was a big change.
Yeah,
big change over here.
And it's really tough for some clubs. Some clubs didn't react. Some clubs folded in the United States anyway because they couldn't find a way to get through all that. But, you know, one great thing that happened was we have one charter member still alive. We started our club in 65, and Jack Parker, and people know Jack Parker, he was one of the founders of this club, and he had disappeared. He had some health issues, hadn't been to a live meeting probably for a year and a half or so before COVID. Well, his daughter got him hooked up on Zoom, so guess who's back in our meetings now on Zoom almost every week. On the screen, there's Jack Parker again.
That is great.
Isn't that cool?
That
it really
is really great.
It's really a good feeling that way. It truly is.
Well, we've talked about some of the members, and it sounds like you've got a great group. But tell us about the process for becoming a Rotarian.
Oh, it's a secret thing. The secret handshake.
Society.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
No, it's actually very open. The biggest thing we want to do, and the reason we've had such success at this club, is we do what's called a pre-induction. And the pre-induction is a meeting before you're actually invited to become a member. And it's just a low-key meet the president, meet some of the chairman, meet some of the newer members, young, older members, whatever else. And in a Q&A, sit down, have a drink or two around a fireplace usually, and let's talk about Rotary. And so we talk about the expenses, we talk about expectations, we talk about all that. And Julie, we found out that by doing that early on, those questions don't pop up in a bad way later on when they get their first bill about it. And Rotary is not expensive, but it's an expense. And so our most expensive part are the meals at Tango because we want to pay them a fair amount for that. But if you add, you know, 50 weeks of meals at $17 a meal, that can add up for a person.
Of course it
does. And there's some dues and all that stuff too. So then we ask and answer, because it makes no sense to attract somebody than to lose them out the back door. Go through all the effort of bringing them on, teaching them about Rotary, and then they lose them because they can't make those Wednesday meetings, or they can't help out, or they don't feel they belong. It's all about a habit, right? You get a habit of going. And once you're hooked, you're kind of like me. You're hooked. It's part of your life. It's part of your DNA. It's part of, oh, I know Wednesday noon's coming up, so I'm going to sneak out at 11:45 or 11:30, get down to Tango and do our thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really sense the camaraderie at the meetings. I've attended two of your meetings, and you can really tell that friends are enjoying getting together.
Right.
It's a good group.
Yeah. We had really something fun this year that dropped on our lap. You heard about it, I'm sure. So ever since the United States went from 48 stars to 50 stars, the Lions Club here has been putting flags out on all the holidays. And I kind of knew they did it. I kind of noticed the flags. I always thought it was a really cool dose of Americana. Well, the Lions Club, like all civic clubs, are challenged right now to grow or not grow. And they weren't growing, and they are still doing all the great things they do with the 4th of July, Toys for Tots, Easter egg hunt. They've got a full slate. So Janice, their president, had attended a few of our meetings. I had noticed a few of their members had been to a few of our meetings, too, just kind of scoping us out. And Tom Dabrowski, you know Tom, had attended a few times, too. So Tom reached out to Herbert Klein, one of our members, and you know him as well, to say, we'd like to have a chat with David. So I'm always open for it. So I said, of course, we'll do that. So I talked to Tom on the phone one night and met with a few of their members, and we invited them to a meeting. And they wanted to give us that flag program because they couldn't do it. And it hit me. First of all, I'm the worst negotiator in the world. As soon as they said, do you want it? I said, yes, I don't care what we're going to do it. And so I had Bev Key and a few of our great members sitting with me, just laughing that I already said, yes, there's no negotiations. We're taking it. Yes. And we're going to make it happen.
That's great.
And I didn't want it to go away. So now we've gone through a full year of doing that. And we've added some more flags. We've kind of cleaned up some of the routes. We do about 160 flags every holiday. We've done it 9 times now. And we have one more on November 11th. God willing, if we don't have a pile of snow, we can't find all the holes for the flags.
Right.
That one's optional. But we've had 50 of our members now who have done a route on that, where Janice will tell you that towards the end of it, she and like one other person were doing all those. And it takes you a long time to do 150 flags. And this is from Sandpoint, Dover, Ponderay, Sagal, I mean, and so she was telling me that the point that made it change for her was the 4th of July, where they ran the 4th of July, she's a president, and she had to do almost the whole route by herself. So twice that same day, run the 4th of July parade stuff.
And then the flags.
So she had a vision. She said, I'm giving it away. I want to get it away. And so it was a win-win for us. And again, it was just another great way of making a partnership with those Lions Club. And that's a great club here. There's no competition for volunteers. There's enough to go around for sure. We just offer all a little bit of a different flavor, perhaps, a little bit different environment, and kind of a different international maybe charge, you know, yes. Where Lions Club's known for eyesight, helping the world with that. And this club's gotten a bunch of awards for that, you know, where Rotary's really about peacekeeping. Rotary is the only civic club in the world with a permanent seat on the United Nations. We helped found the United States, or the United Nations way back in the day. It was, they came to us and they said, you guys are peacekeepers. You do all this good stuff. We're giving you a permanent seat on the council. And so we're still there.
I'm really glad that you shared that. I was unaware of it. And that's a pretty important, very important part of your mission.
Whole different world, isn't it?
That's right.
And as I'm learning more about the district governor responsibilities, I'm going to a summit in Utah soon. And that's what we're talking about, is the international aspect of Rotary. You know, we kind of give a lip service on something like this, but it's really an inch deep, a mile wide. I expect to learn a ton more about what our responsibilities are and what we've really done. You know, we have one member who went to India 3 years ago, mid-career person, owns a business here in town. She went over to India for a polio immunization project. And I was there about a week. She came back here again, just solid lady, just perfect. She came back and she told me, looking straight in my eyes, tears in her eyes, that it had changed her life.
I can imagine. I can just imagine that could.
So I shared that story, but then I put her in front of the club, of course, too, saying you can be this person too. And we've had other people sign up to help, not to that level, but to see, again, mid-career, he's done everything you'd ever want to do as a career person.
Yeah.
Then to give that time up and to say,
time to do something else.
Yeah.
To share more.
Exactly right.
That is great. Dave, how does a person come to be in leadership in Rotary? You've been president, now you're going to rise even higher.
A lot of people have followed those trails. I think it's, again, where your heart is a little bit. There's nothing wrong about being the best membership chairman. There's nothing wrong with being our foundation chairman. There's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with coming to a meeting once every Wednesday and saying, this is pretty cool stuff. I'll write a check or I'll do something else. But then there's a calling too, where you think, okay, if you can kind of move the needle a little bit as one member, then all of a sudden you look, so maybe I can move a few more as membership chairman, attract some more people. Maybe I can do this as a president coming out of the pandemic. My biggest challenge when I was president was we weren't good at meeting anymore. And so I brought in the fun part of it. I brought in, we had just some antics that would just make it real memorable for people to come and want them to come back.
Oh, I bet that was a challenge for you to add fun to the Rotary meetings.
I'm pretty reserved usually, but yeah, I pulled it out for those meetings. And, you know, as the pandemic would come back, we would separate rooms. We'd have people sitting by themselves. They would have Zoom, so they were all safe that way too. And we were very much in the forefront of, pushing the immunization. That's what Rotary does in polio. And unfortunately, Julie, what's happened, it's gotten so politicized. In fact, that's what's going on. There are 4 live virus polio cases in the world right now. There's a few more things that are popping up, like in New York City. You've heard a few of those.
I did. But
there's 4 live virus ones, and they're in Pakistan and India. And what happens there is you have the warlords who say, well, we don't really want you Americans especially, but of course you Rotarians, to come in here because we know that those vaccines have tracer things in it, all this nonsense stuff you hear now.
Yes, I've read about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in fact, when polio vaccine came out, there's a lot of the same stuff happened. And it was like, no, there's stuff in there that we don't know about. It's going to be bad. And so Rotary is not a political organization at all, but we believe in people and we believe in making a difference. And vaccines for polio have made a world of difference. We don't have iron lungs anymore. We don't have that anymore. We have members who still have friends who had polio or had polio. We've got that connection still too. And, you know, we chose to take a stand with that and we still do. And frankly, COVID is not that much different that way. The politics is involved, all this other stuff. But in the long term, we're going to find out that we saved a lot more than we killed off because of proactive.
I couldn't agree more. Polio has that. The polio vaccine has truly changed the world.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah.
Well, good on you guys.
Well,
good
we still have to do it. We still have to do
to
it.
To complete it.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Very, very much so. Well, Dave, you've mentioned a few very satisfying moments for you. And before we go to song break, are there any others you might like to share?
I think that by attracting great new members, Rotary solidifies itself in our community in the world. And so we're always looking for that next new member because all of a sudden you have what's called the power of me versus the power of we. And we've had more members who come in, join, and think, you know what, I'm part of the Trails Association. Let me tell you more about that. And then we get more people doing that. We get people coming in and saying, well, I've really been involved with the animal shelter. Well, guess what we do? Now we fund a whole bunch of things at the animal shelter. We have members that are there. So we, you know, you start broadening those circles of influence and you think, what can't we do? You know, so then you start looking, okay, we're pretty good at this stuff. We're pretty good about raising money. We don't want money to sit away. We want to use it in our communities. So let's give more scholarships. Let's do this. Let's try that. Let's do that. And that's what we do. And so the future is still undefined about where we're going, but it's by bringing these new members in or bringing people who have been Rotarians before in, because it's fun to watch them because they're from California or Seattle or wherever else, and they've seen a different type of Rotary than we have here. But guess what? It's all about the same. We still do the service above self. We still do the important stuff, but they do a hot dog feed at the fair, or they do, you know, cotton candy, or they do something else that we haven't done here. So then you find out, again, that we all have the thread of helping people, but we come about it in many different ways.
That is sort of the heart of Rotary, and I can see that it's very satisfying to you, and I'm so happy to hear that.
And I have 110 other friends that will tell you the same thing here in our club, and I can share that with 1.4 million other people around the world, too.
Wow. Well, I think on that note, we're going to bring this part of our interview to a close, and I would like to thank you, Dave Keyes, past president of Rotary, future district governor in 3 years.
Julie, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. I really do.
Yes, great. Well, we're going to take a short song break, and then Dave is going to remain with us wearing a new hat.
Well, a new sweatshirt, too.
That's right. You'll learn about it in a minute.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, Dave requested this song because we've got a little gloom coming, but we need to remember that sunshine will return.
So there you go.
Here it comes. Well, dreams of sunshine, they're not here today and they're not here this week, but someday. Listeners who are just joining us or have been listening in, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And we've just mostly completed an interview with Dave Keyes as past president of Rotary and upcoming district governor. But we realized that we needed to mention just a few more things, and then we'll move on to the next topic for this morning.
Great.
Dave.
Thank you. I want to remind people, of course, about our great event coming up Friday night, 5 o'clock at 113 Main Street, Pints for Polio. We have in polio now. We're going to raise a lot of money and have a lot of fun. And if you think you've heard something about Rotary, you want to ask real Rotarians, come on down. And Julie will buy me a beer, and I'm buying her a beer, so things will be great.
That's right. I'm going to learn more about Rotary.
I like it. Well, you had a shotgun of it right now, I'll tell you that. One thing I didn't mention, and I was looking through my notes, and Julie was kind enough to say, bring it up, was we've always supported what's called the Book Trust here in Lake Pondre School District, and we decided to up it. And what happens is we have that Chafe Bike Ride, and Chafe Bike Ride is such a all hands on. You talk about being active. 95% of our club is active in Chafe one way or the other. They either volunteer, you know, it's aid stations or wherever. 95% of people have a finger in the Chafe world. And so it begets quite a bit of money. And, you know, the ridership actually has been slowing down a bit, but our sponsorship have gone up. And the real true test, Julie, of an event that makes a difference is we didn't have it 1 year. And guess what? All of our sponsors, more than $100,000 worth of sponsors, said, we know what you guys do with this money. We're giving it to you anyway. So our most profitable Chafe ride was a year we didn't have it because we had no expenses.
That is an amazing story.
Yeah, so
that's wonderful.
And that shows you that Mel Dick and Brad and the whole gang on the Chafe committee have really made a difference for people. So that was cool. Anyway, so recently we wrote our first check to sponsor the Book Trust for it's a 3-year cycle. We gave them a check for $80,000.
Oh, my.
And that gives books to every school kid for 3 grades in our school district. And every month, they get a chance to, quote unquote, buy a book. And they take the book home, and they enjoy that book. So guess what, mom and dad? When the kid brings the book home, what are you going to do? You're going to read that book with the kid, developing that reading habit.
That is a great program.
It's a great program.
That's a lot of funds to help get that rolling and keep it rolling.
Yeah. And our president, Donna Lorenz, our current president, is near and dear her heart too. She wanted to make sure that was a success, and it is. So,
that's an important part of growing up, knowing how to read and enjoying reading. What a great program.
You bet.
Well, thanks for sharing. Additional, was that it? Shall we move on, or did you have one more thing?
Totally up to you, Julie. You're driving the bus.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it, but I also feel like you are an easy bus to drive, Dave.
I've been compared to that before. Okay. I've been called worse, too.
I suppose. Anyway. Well, Dave has now literally shown me his changing of hat and changing of sweatshirt. And the sweatshirt I'm looking at is this really nice black sweatshirt with a white logo, and it says Northwest Auto Body. And that leads us into another great way to for people to help our community. And you are going to tell us about it, Dave.
You bet. You have two different types of listeners right now. You have those who have hit a deer and those who are going to hit a deer.
So true.
We're in North Idaho.
And those who are going to hit a deer again.
We've had a few frequent flyers. A few years ago, in fact, back in 2016, it's a national trend, actually. Deer are moving in November. They're in rut. The hunters are shooting at them, so they're moving around. They're not nestled where they usually are. So, of course, what happens is they run into, or cars or vehicles run into them. And so a couple employees at Northwest Auto Body in 2016 said, this is a thing, but what can we do maybe to make this thing into a good thing? And so that's where we partnered with the food bank and said, how about this for an idea? How about for every deer or animal strike in November, we will give $50 to the food bank. No strings attached. We'll just give it to you to use your buying power to make life better here. What do you say? Of course they said yes. So since then, we've raised almost $17,000 for the food bank. And again, giving the money to Debbie and company to spend as they will, because they have, again, the buying power that we don't have. But so the big challenge we had was, that's okay, and that's important to do, but what are we going to call this thing? So it bounces back between November and Deervember. So, I mean, I came up with one of them. Eric Donenfeld, one of the owners, came up with another one. I'm not telling you which one because the bosses are always right.
That's right.
But we go back and forth on that. But so we've done that for those years, and we're doing it again in November. See, I can't even say November.
And, oh, dear.
Oh, dear. That's exactly right. And that's what most people say when they hit it. No, they don't, really. And so we also teamed up with Washington Trust. Eric Paul's been a great partner with us. And so they kick in money as well as part of this, too. So I guess, you know, you think about it, the buck stops with Washington Trust, but, you know, the dough comes to Northwest Auto.
It just goes on and on and
on. Oh, yeah,
on,
hours
it,
of entertainment on this
oh,
one.
Oh, my.
But we wanted to make something good out of something that maybe is not so good. We wanted to remind people, too, that this is really a dangerous time. Deer strikes can be fatal. We've seen a few of those over the years. I had a friend of mine who was actually killed in a deer accident when he was coming back from Kalispell on Highway 2. A vehicle heading east hit a deer, flung it up into the air, landed on his car, killed him.
That's very sad.
You know, we can kind of joke about some of that, but this is a time of year when you do really need to be careful. And we really want people to be safe. I mean, we will fix things when they happen, and they'll happen anyway. But I'm just reminding people to slow down, for one thing. It's darker longer right now. Deer are moving around right now. And elk, we've seen moose, we've seen all sorts of different critters get hit. But when in doubt, slow it down. Make sure your lights are cleaned up. Make sure you can see. Make sure you're paying attention, because things can happen in a minute that way. And as gory as it sounds, if you see a four-legged critter in front of you and you're thinking about swerving out of the way, remember who the endangered species is. Don't do something that will endanger your life or the people who are behind you or in front of you on a road. You know, if you're going to hit a deer, hit it straight on, because you don't want to, again, cause more damage than what will already happen. And nobody feels worse than when they injure somebody else in an accident. And we see that in our world, too. I'm just letting you know, be careful. You do have a locally owned company. We've been in business since 1976, all locals, hire all locals, and we want to make sure we're looking out for our locals, because we see generations of people come into our shops, and we have one in Sandpoint and one in Pend'Oreille. We want you to come back. We want you to have an experience that you want to share with your friends about how well you were treated there. Things are going to happen. There's other body shops in our region, too. We all do a good job, but we just want to let you know, for the 1 month of November, we want to help out our neighbors, too. And those are less fortunate people. We really got to look out for those people, because there's more of them now than ever. And if you talk to the folks at the food bank, they've never been hit more than now. So we are going to find a way to help our neighbors one way or the other. And Corey and Eric Donenfeld, led by their dad, Mel, who set the tone for how these businesses run, always want to give back to our community. So this is the way they do it.
Yeah, they sure are doing it. We want to thank them for being underwriters here at KRFY as well.
We've got your sticker there, too.
They've been great supporters, and we appreciate them very, very much.
Well,
yeah,
you.
And, you know, November, when you think about it, your gardens have kind of closed down. If you're living a little bit close to the edge with income, et cetera, it's a tough time. Holidays are coming, your garden isn't around, and it's a time where folks can really use some help.
You bet. You bet.
So, I love it. All right. So that is Deervember.
Or November. Which one do you like better? Which one?
I don't think I can say November five times fast. So I'm going to stick with
Deervember. Okay.
I like it. Yes. Well, we are coming to a close of the morning show, KRF Morning Show. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things that are going on here at KRFY. One is that we are continuing with the morning shows, and they are now, for the most part, live. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the 26th, there will be a review of state offices on the ballot for upcoming election with local print journalist The Bee and the Reader. So that should be a really informative hour with Chris Bessler. And then on Thursday, we're going to be having a guest, the folks from Sandemonium, and that is with the organizer, Cassandra. Oh, I hope I can pronounce your name, Cassandra. We'll just say Cassandra K, I think. Anyway, we are, in case you haven't noticed, listeners, we are operating at low power because of a move. Our antenna has been moved, and we're just getting ready to get that powered up again. So if you're having marginal reception, it should soon improve for everyone. Looking forward to that. I can't tell you how much.
Well, Julie, I just got to let you know, people are listening, because I've gotten a few texts from friends and members of Rotary, too, that are saying, keep it up, Julie. That's good.
Keep it up, Julie. And Dave, and it's been a great interview. We've really learned a lot this morning. And we're just going to mention a few things. If there's anything interesting going on, well, we know about the event with Rotary later this week. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. And what else? Let's see. There's going to be a costume party, Halloween costume party at the fairgrounds. That's on the 28th, Friday. I think this is kind of a kid's thing. Starting at 5:30, ending at 9, free games, spooky tunnel, free pumpkin decorating, yummy treats, costumes, etc. Although that could be for adults, too. Would you go to a party like that, Dave?
Probably not. But I'd invite other people to do it, though, to make up for
on
me.
On your behalf. There you go. And then upcoming at the Panada is Misery Live Theater. Wow, that's going to be interesting.
Rotarian Ken Wood is in there with Kate McAllister.
Really?
So we are planning, there's a few of us planning to going from the Pints for Polio event, walk down the street to support
live.
Ken.
Live theater. Yeah. That's going to be a fun night. I'll have to put all of this on my schedule. It's running three nights, Saturday, Sunday, and, Saturday and then two times. I'll get it right eventually. Here, Dave, the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th. Two Perfect. Evenings and then a matinee. So looking forward to all that. Well, that's about all I've got here, Dave. I'm going to take us out with a song.
Thanks, Julie. It's been fun. It really has. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you do a great job, and I've enjoyed having you on KRFY. Listeners, this has been KRFY, community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle Community Radio. And this is Julie Calamine. I've been joined by David Keyes, who talked about two topics, Rotary and Deervember. So it's been a great morning. And we're laughing about this a little bit. We weren't able to really find a deer movie titled Deer Song sort of song. So instead we looked for deer songs with deer in them. And this is the best we could do, listeners. So here it goes. Deervember and Deer Prudence. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.